So this morning I am carrying on with the series that we began last week. And we started looking at following God's plan for your life. And I went through a number of things last week, sort of like as an introduction. And we're looking at the life of Joseph. And one of the things that we pointed out last week, or a number of things that we pointed out last week was, one, the fact that from Jeremiah 29:11, we know that God has a plan for every single one of us. We know it's a good plan. The same thing, and we looked at the life of Joseph, where in his own case, God even showed him a dream about the plans that he had for him. But we see almost straight away that things begin to happen in the life of Joseph that almost make it seem as if God didn't have a plan for him, or that God's plan was not going to be fulfilled in his life because of the circumstances that he went through. And I mentioned three main things that tend to affect God's plans for our lives, or the way we go about God's plan, or as we're going about God's plan for our lives, growing up, going about our daily business. I mentioned that there are three things that would usually affect that, the journey of God's plan in our lives. And I mentioned one being like family-oriented bits and pieces. I referred to relational things as well, and restrictions. So those are the things that I mentioned last week. So this morning we're going to carry on from where I stopped last week. So I think I've got my... So I'm going to carry on from where we stopped last week. And this morning I'm looking at still following God's plan, but I'm going to be looking at two main things. So the first is, why should I be concerned at all about following God's plan for my life? It's like, you know, I'm in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, 50s. And I think I've done pretty well. I haven't like really gone off the rails or anything. So why is it important? Why should I consider that now? Why should that be of any real significance to me now? So why? And if we go past the why and we now say, okay, I want to start, you know, I want to make sure that I'm in the context of God's plan. It's now the how. How do we go about it? How do I go about it? Do I have to do anything special? Do I have to? So it's like the how. How do I do it? We'll try and look at that today a bit. So I'm going to make a number of points this morning. And the first point I want to make this morning is that at the end of your journey in life, at the end of my journey in life, the only thing that will bring real satisfaction or fulfillment when you're about to check out is that you have followed God's plan for your life. I read a portion of scripture here, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. Paul was saying something here. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He now goes to say, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. So Paul says something at the end of his life. He says, look, I can look back and say I have fought the good fight. In other words, I have lived my life according to God's plans. If you look at the life of Paul, for the early years of his life, he was off the rails. He was killing Christians, well, persecuting Christians. So he made a lot of mistakes as well. But despite the mistakes he made, he was still able to do what I'll call a course correction. And at the end of his life, he was able to say, you know, I've done my best, and I have no regrets. Now, why is this important? I remember that, you know, I was with someone who was very ill at a point, and I was, you know, having a chat with them. They passed on, and they were not really old, you know, slightly young as well. And we're having a conversation, and it was at that point that this this really hit home for me. And as I was discussing with this person, they said, look, I might check out any time from now, but when I look back at my life, I've done everything that I believe God has always wanted me to do. I wanted to start a business. I tried my best at that. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. And they were recounting their life. And even though, you know, they were a bit sad that they might not make it out of that illness, they were satisfied because they said, yes, I have done my best. Do you understand? At that point, I said, my goodness, is this how life is? You know, when we run about and do our daily activities, we go to work and all these things, which is fantastic. Sometimes we do not realize the weight or the consequence of our daily lives. And before you know it, 5 years have passed, 10 years have passed in your life, 20 years have passed, 30 years have passed, and you're 80, 70, or 100. And one looks back and one can't really say, look, I have a certain sense of fulfillment in my life. So I realized that oftentimes it's at that point that people realize it. That, wow, all these things, all these arguments that I had that I thought was a big deal, irrelevant. All these people that annoyed me that I kept a grudge with, you wouldn't even think about it at that time. So the first point I'm making this morning is, at the end of the day, it is living in God's plan that will bring that fulfillment for us. And we can get that fulfillment as we go along in life, so that we don't wake up one day and we're 70 or 80 and we're like, man, where has my life gone? Do you understand? So the first point is that it's God's working in God's plan that brings that real fulfillment. I'm going to come to the point later about how do I live in God's plan. And again, it's nothing, I'm going to use the word, it's nothing spooky. It's not saying, oh, to live in God's plan, you have to go and fast 3 days a week. If you want to do that, that's fine. Or you have to do this or do that. It's not really, as I'll come to it, a goal per se. But I'll explain what I mean shortly. So the next point is this. We're looking at the life of Joseph, right? And Joseph went through a lot. He was kidnapped, sold into slavery, taken to another country. He was wrongly accused. We saw that last week. Wrongly accused that he was trying to sexually assault someone. I mean, can you imagine you know, going on the internet and someone you know, they just put like a headline, this person nabbed for assault, they're in jail now. I mean, what kind of, you're like, man, this guy's life is finished. You probably wouldn't even take his call. Man, I don't want to be associated with all these assaultees or assaulters. Don't call me anymore. So this guy went through a lot. He went through a lot. So, but something happened at the end of it. With the story of Joseph, he was released from prison. Pharaoh recognized him. He was able to help the economy. And because of him, a lot of people didn't starve. Because he was able to help Pharaoh, they were able to store grain that fed the nations around them for a good 7 years. If Joseph hadn't been in the picture, he will have died. His family members will have died as well. Now, something happened to Joseph, and I'll read from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 20. So this is the second point I want to make. Now, Joseph had become prime minister, so to speak. His brothers now came. They recognized that, wow, this is the guy that we sold off to slavery. But they reconciled. He met his father again. Then his father passed. His father passed on. Then his brothers came to him and they were like, "Man, our dad is gone now. Maybe Joseph is going to take revenge on us now that our dad is not around." Do you get what I mean? And this is the background. I'll read Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 20. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left instructions before he died. This is what you have to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive." All right, don't worry. So that's British prison. In the prison of those days, it was very different. They just chucked you in there. It was dark and dingy. No light. You were probably chained somewhere if you were unfortunate. No toilet. So imagine that in that kind of little room, you had like 10 people. And you had to go to the toilet. You know, it's not like nice clean toilet. So you just, I don't want to go into the graphic details. There was no, if people didn't bring food to you in prison then, or if maybe the prisoner, the prison warden wasn't like really kind, you could starve. So it wasn't one of those fancy prisons that Joseph was in. It was dark, cold, dingy, unkempt. But let me take an extract from his life. I'll take an extract from Joseph's life. And I just want to make a point around living in God's plan for our lives. Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 to 8. It says, "Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison that Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for a time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who had been held in prison, had a dream the same night. Each dream had a meaning of its own." This is the point that I want to make now. It says, "When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, 'Why do you look so sad today?' And they said, 'We both had dreams,' they answered, 'but there was no one to interpret them.'" So we need to see something about living in God's plan. That it's not necessarily a goal. Joseph could have said, "You know, I'm just going to chill. I've been wrongly accused. I'm just going to mind my business. Do, you know, just stick to myself. And let this, you know, whoever is in prison, that's their business. At least I'm not meant to be amongst these guys. These guys are like bad guys. I'm just an innocent person." And, you know, but Joseph didn't do that. Joseph went and said, "Guys, why are you looking so sad?" And I'm like, they should be sad, they're in prison. I mean, why are you asking them that kind of question? I mean, they should be sad. But that's not the point. The point was that Joseph paid attention to them. He cared about people. So even though he was going through a very tough time himself, he was still living in God's plan. And I'll make a point next. And that plan was that God says that we should care for one another. God says we should bear our burdens. Do you understand? Joseph was not even a New Testament believer. So Joseph was, irrespective of his circumstance, still living in the plan of God for his life and impacting the people around him. I mean, can you imagine that kind of thing? He disregarded everything that was around him and determined that, look, I am going to still live out God's plan. Now, we know the end of Joseph's story. He didn't. He probably thought he would die in prison. So it wasn't like, let me be good now because I'm going to be released later. He had no hope for release, no hope for parole. So we see someone who didn't have an agenda. We see someone who had nothing good in front of him that he could aspire to. We see someone whose dreams appear to have been terminated. We see someone who didn't just resign himself and say, well, let me just do anything I want. I don't care. So even without the knowledge of the end game, even though he thought the dream that God showed him had been lost, he still said, I will live in God's plan for my life. I will. So this brings me to the last point, and I will just bring everything together. So the question now is this. In the beginning I said, we're looking at why should I be concerned about living in God's plan. And I made a number of points. I said, because one, it will bring you fulfillment. It will impact the lives of others around you. So the question now is, if I'm saying that living in God's plan is not a destination per se, it's not saying I am living in God's plan when God answers my prayers. It's not saying, God, I don't have this, so I'm not going to go to church anymore. You're not real. Now, I'm not blaming anyone for that. It's not saying, God, why is this happening to me? You don't care about me. Do you understand? Now, am I saying that's wrong? I'm not, because everybody's in a different space. I'm not blaming anyone for reacting. But what I'm saying the point I'm making this morning is, look, Joseph decided to live in God's plan anyway. So the last point is, how do I live in God's plan? What does that mean in the reality of life? In context, how does that apply to me? Looking at the scriptures, right, I found two things with regards to how we live God's life, live in God's plan. The first is in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming more like him in his death. Number one. The second one is John chapter 6 verses 28 and 29. It says, then they asked, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So I see two things here with regards to the simplicity of living in God's plan, even when we don't have answers for the big picture. Even though we might be experiencing things that are uncomfortable for us. Two things I see in scripture here. One, making our life's quest to know Christ more and more. And the second one, some people came to Jesus and said, what must we do? What must I do? Must I do this? Must I be like a preacher? Must I? And Jesus said, hang on, I'm paraphrasing. And the answer he gave them to me didn't really tally. He said, this is how you do the work of God. He says, to believe in him. And I'm asking you a question, what must I do to do the works of God? And you're responding, you're not saying do this, and you're saying just believe in Christ, believe in him. I mean, that doesn't make sense, really. So we see something here. What we see here is this. The way I believe from scripture that we live in God's plan is as we, from our hearts, make a decision that I want to know God. My life is about knowing Christ. And we walk in his commandments. And when I say we walk in his commandments, you know, some people say, oh, this is an era of grace and all those things. I'm not talking about that. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And he says, my commands are not, they're not grievous. Now, to bring this to life, I remember a long time ago with my late wife. Early days, I was so busy. I'm still busy now anyway. And what I used to do then was I would go here, I would do this, I would try my best, buy this for her, buy that for her. You know, I'm like, dear, I bought this for you. You know, sometimes I would, you know, get these gifts and hide them somewhere. You know, then she would just stumble across it. We're like, oh, you started again. And I, you know, all these things. Do you know what she told me one day? She sat me down and said, can I talk to you? She called me by my first name. She said, can we talk? I'm like, my goodness, what have I done again to you? You know that line? You know, when your wife says, can we sit down and talk? It's a loaded statement. I said, okay. And you know what she told me? She said, look, I appreciate all these things that you do for me. I appreciate that you go out of your way, you work really hard to provide for us as a family and all these things. I appreciate all these things, but you know what? I really want. I was like, what? What do you really want? She said, I want you to just sit down with me, keep me company, and just talk with me. And as a guy, like, what does that mean? She said, that's all I want from you. I said, that's all you want? Yeah. She said, just sit down and just talk with me. I appreciate all this up and down, you, but just talk with me. I said, wow, that's a revelation. And I remember that after that time, there are times that we would, initially, it didn't make sense to me as a guy. What are we going to be talking about? You know, I'm like an action guy. When I'm talking, it has an aim. There's a thing I need to, you know. Said no. And I remember that at the time that we would talk, sometimes in the evening from 8, we'll talk till 2 in the morning. Ask me what we're talking about. I don't remember. As if there wasn't any groundbreaking thing. I don't remember. So, Jesus is saying here as well, it's not just about what we do for him. That's good. He wants our heart. And when he gets our heart, that is when we begin to really live according to his plan. And as we do that, the outflow of that is that we'll obey him. We will keep his commandments. We will love one another. We'll inconvenience ourselves to do certain things. Why? Because we love him. So Paul, the apostle, said in Philippians chapter 3 that we read, he said, my aim in life is to know Christ. And you're like, this is a man that went from here to there, but he never lost focus that, even though I'm doing all these things, my aim is to know Christ and to walk in his commandments. So when Potiphar's wife came to Joseph, and she said, look, you're a handsome guy, just don't worry, you know, just be my boyfriend or whatever. Joseph's parents weren't there. His church members weren't there. He had, in quote, there was no one that was good. I mean, there was no one around. But he just said something. He said, what? Irrespective, I cannot disappoint God in this context. He was living in God's plan on a daily basis. Someone comes to him and annoys him, and he was like, look, I should respond in anger to this person, but God says, be angry, but don't sin. So I'm annoyed, but I'll keep calm. You're living in God's plan. Caring for one another, you're living in God's plan. So what am I saying? I'm saying that living in God's plan is simple. One, having the heart that I really want to know Christ. And just doing what God expects you and I to do. Even though we might not have like a good sense of the big picture, irrespective of where we are in life. And it is so simple that as we have that heart for God and we go about our daily business, conscious that in this circumstance, what would Christ want me to do? And we do it. And as we do that in every area of our lives, obviously we're not perfect in doing that, we will begin to walk along the path of God. And God will help us. As we want to, as we aspire to do certain things, maybe business, career, or something, God help me. And He helps us. Did you get what I mean? So, I'm going to stop there this morning. And like I said, God has made everything in the Bible and with regards to Him accessible to every single person. So, when I use that term, living in God's plan or working in God's plan, it's not a big word or it's not like a big thing that is far-fetched. No, it's not. It's just saying that, look, it's me, one, realizing that that's what's going to bring me fulfillment. Realizing that it is my living in God's plan that would impact those around me. Realizing also that it's not necessarily a goal, but it's living our lives on a daily basis. So that irrespective of where you are in life, whether things are going as you're planned or not, it doesn't really matter in the context of God's plan, because you're living life daily, conscious of God, wanting to know God. And I believe that as we do that, our lives will become more and more fulfilling. So this morning, I just want us to just rise up and to pray. I want us to just pray. And what we just want to pray about is, you know, God, help me to make a course correction. If I have been living life not really conscious of You, this morning, I want to live my life to be conscious of You. Every worry that You have, every worry that I have, let us just talk to God about them and say, God, I'm worried about this. God, what about this? And I believe that what God is like asking me to tell You this morning is that, yes, I know about that. However, You can still live in my plan. You can still have the fulfillment that you so desire. That fulfillment is not going to come from you achieving a goal, which is fine. That fulfillment is not going to come primarily from what you're doing or what you're trying to do. Those things are fine. But your fulfillment will come as you turn your heart to Me and go on this journey of life with Me. Let us just pray. Our Father, our King. Father, we thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You for the simplicity of Your word. The simplicity of life as You made it out for us. Who are we that You're mindful of us, that You care so much about us, that You want us to spend time with You. Spend time being conscious of the fact that You have a plan for us. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your plans. Thank You for Your purposes for us. Father, I commit everyone that is here into Your hands, and even those that are not here. Now, for those who, for one reason or the other, have lost hope in life, for those who, for one reason or the other, are experiencing great turmoil in their emotions, in their heart, maybe they've looked about and things are not going the way they planned, I'm asking that You bring hope back into those situations in Jesus' name. Father, I'm asking that You will strengthen us. Father, I'm asking that Your supernatural joy will guard our hearts, that Your supernatural joy will keep us. Father, we thank You.